Welcome to Staff Voices by the Center for Deployment Psychology. Today, Dr. William Brim discusses, why do we sleep?
Today we'll be discussing current theories on why people sleep. Our understanding of why people sleep has undergone significant changes in the last 10 to 15 years, as our ability to measure the activity of the brain and the body while sleeping has improved. So we wanted to start off this podcast today with a discussion about why people sleep. All creatures have discernible periods of rest, from single-celled protoplasms to higher-order animals. So why is it that we sleep? What happens while we sleep? And why do we sleep when we typically do, at night? In our audiences, when we do evidence-based psychotherapy workshops on cognitive behavior therapy for insomnia, I often ask the audience, what are some of the theories or what are some of the reasons that you know about why people sleep? And often we get several different answers that do fall into essentially four categories. The first of these theories is the inactivity theory. This is one of the earliest theories of sleep, and it's sometimes called the adaptive or evolutionary theory, and it suggests that inactivity at night is an adaptation that served a survival function by keeping organisms out of harm's way at times when they would be particularly vulnerable, like at night. The theory suggests that animals that were able to stay still and quiet during these periods of vulnerability had an advantage over other animals that remained active. These animals, and I would include cave people, did not have accidents during activities in the dark. They didn't walk off of cliffs, and they weren't eaten by saber-toothed tigers. And through natural selection, this behavioral strategy presumably evolved to become what we now recognize as sleep. Now, a lot of people will probably recognize that this is probably not the most active theory today, because it would probably be safer if you were conscious but still at night, as opposed to unconscious and unaware if the saber-toothed tiger was gnawing on your leg, say. So there doesn't seem to be any advantage of being unconscious and asleep if safety is paramount. So that kind of naturally leads us into the second theory, and that's energy conservation. It may be less apparent to people today, especially those of us that live in societies where food sources are plentiful, but one of the strongest factors in natural selection is competition for and effective use of energy resources, like food. The energy conservation theory suggests that the primary function of sleep is to reduce an individual's energy demand and expenditure during part of the day or night, especially at times when it is least efficient to search for food, when it's dark. So research has shown that energy metabolism is significantly reduced during sleep, sometimes by as much as 10% in humans, and even more in other species. So for example, both body temperature and caloric demand decrease during sleep as compared to when we're awake. This evidence supports the proposition that one of the primary functions of sleep is to help organisms conserve their energy resources. And most scientists today consider this theory to be related to and maybe a part of that inactivity theory. So the two are kind of blended together. In our workshops, people will often focus on the restorative nature of sleep. People will say, it just feels good to sleep. Our energy is restored, physically we're restored, and cognitively we're restored. And the restorative theory is based on the long-held belief that sleep in some way serves to restore what is lost in the body while we're awake. Sleep provides an opportunity for the body to repair and rejuvenate itself. In recent years, these ideas have gained support from empirical evidence collected in both human and animal studies. The most striking of these is that animals deprived entirely of sleep lose all immune function and die, typically within just a matter of a few weeks. This is further supported by findings that many of the major restorative functions in the body, like muscle growth, tissue repair, protein synthesis, and growth hormone release, occur mostly, or in some cases exclusively, during sleep. Other rejuvenating aspects of sleep are specific to the brain and cognitive functioning. For example, when we are awake, neurons in the brain produce adenosine, a byproduct of the cell's activities while we're awake. This buildup of adenosine over the course of the day in the brain is thought to be one of the factors that leads to our perception of being tired. Scientists think that this buildup of adenosine during wakefulness may promote the drive to sleep. And as long as we're awake, adenosine accumulates and remains high. During sleep, the body has a chance to clear adenosine from the system, and as a result, we feel more alert when we wake. The final theory for why we sleep that's often brought up by our participants is that of brain plasticity. This is one of the most recent and compelling explanations for why we sleep, and it's based on findings that sleep is correlated to changes in the structure and organization of the brain. This phenomenon, which is known as brain plasticity, is not entirely understood, but its connection to sleep has several critical implications. It's becoming clear, for example, that sleep plays a critical role in brain development in infants and young children. Many of you will know that infants spend about 14 to 16 hours per day sleeping, and that half of that time is in REM sleep, or rapid eye movement sleep, a stage in which most dreams occur and when the brain is most active. A link between sleep and brain plasticity is becoming clear in adults as well. This is seen in the effect that sleep and sleep deprivation have on people's ability to learn and perform a variety of tasks. I often tell participants in our workshops that these theories represent the latest understanding in why people sleep, and that our understanding of why people sleep continues to evolve as our ability to measure the activity of the brain and the body continues to evolve as well. Understanding why people sleep is an important foundation to understanding how sleep is regulated and how sleep gets dysregulated, and having an understanding of good sleep and why we sleep is an important foundation for therapists working with patients on insomnia and some of the other sleep disorders. So I hope that this discussion about the theories of why people sleep is helpful. Next up on our series of sleep, we'll be discussing the regulation of sleep and the role of homeostasis and the circadian rhythm.